This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Sports royalty is on the air. This is the only show with so much talent and expert analysis, it can barely be contained. Jump on now or it'll pass you by. This is Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Sports Evolution. As you can tell, I am not Scott Criscola with a different voice. This is your co-host at times, contributor at times, former host of the Sports Lounge. I'm Roger Morsak. Here with you, we have a jam-packed episode for you, Super Bowl preview. Scott couldn't make it because he's live and in color at a Fairfield Stags basketball game, and some things have to take precedence. So to take Scott's place, we have a special guest with us. Senior, of course, is here. Senior, how are you?
Okay, Cowboy, doing great. How are you?
Very, very good. Very good. Long day, but I'm hanging in there. And a very special guest for us. He's a veteran of both the Sports Lounge and Sports Evolution. Former NFL wide receiver and great guy, friend of the podcast, Rob Carpenter. How's it going, Rob?
I'm doing pretty good, guys.
Good, good. So this episode's going to basically all be about the Super Bowl. So figure we could start things off. We were doing a little bit of this off air, but figure we could start things off with taking a look at the two title games. They both went. The way those games went I think that everyone probably, maybe I'm wrong, but I think everyone's going to be in agreement about how the Super Bowl is going to go based upon how those games went. So first we'll go with the odds-on favorite, the Panthers. Arizona came to Carolina, and Carolina just stomped a mud hole in them. It was ugly. It was Carolina, I feel has been a little as underrated as a team with their record can be. I feel like it took a long time for people to take them seriously, and they're really a juggernaut. I mean, there's no luck there. They're the best offense in football. They have been all year, and they have a pretty gosh darn opportunistic defense too. Rob, what stood out to you in the beatdown?
I think the biggest thing was the fact that the Cardinals could get no offense going. I mean, I thought Carolina would actually win the game, but had no clue that they would win a game like that. To totally shut down the Cardinals like they did was, you know, it was kind of amazing, man. I know the defense is good for the Panthers. I know those guys are young. They fly around a lot. I think they are probably one of the most underrated defenses in the league, even though they're one of the best defenses in the league. Pretty much like the whole Carolina team. They're pretty much were an underrated team. But, you know, those guys, they fly around to the ball. and they make a lot of plays. And when they actually make those plays, they capitalize in big ways. They score off those plays. So that makes the defense even that much tougher.
So do you think some of that, Rob, was Carson Palmer really didn't look right from the time he injured his finger? And you hate to make excuses, but he did not, for the last few games of the season, including the Green Bay playoff game, I mean, he didn't look like himself. So do you attribute that to the injury or to Carson Palmer maybe folding a little bit in the big games?
I think his finger has something to do with it. You can tell from when he hurt his finger. You know, last three games he didn't play well. So I think that has something to do with it, but really can't take away what the Panthers' defense has done pretty much the whole season. Except for those two kind of, I'll call them hiccups. The one they had against the Giants where they had the big lead and the Giants actually came back. The Panthers actually had to win it late. And then, of course, in the playoff game against the Seahawks, where the Panthers jumped out big and the Seahawks ended up coming back late. you know, their defense is really good, but again, they capitalize so much off of turnovers. You know, they make those turnovers count. Kuechly with the pick sixes and when they get those, you know, it's hard for an offense to actually come back. But also, I think the Cardinals, I think Carson Palmer in general, he was struggling and he was trying to go for the home run just a bit too much. You can see most of the time when he was looking downfield, way downfield, and you know, you really have to set a team up like the Panthers with some of your underneath stuff, you know, get completions, move the chains, and Carson was just trying to take shots down the field, and it just wasn't working.
Because, I mean, if the Panthers have a weakness on defense, it's against the run, right? And David Johnson actually was getting some work done, but Palmer just killed them with the turnovers, just absolutely killed them.
Early in the game, David Johnson was actually, he had some good runs, and I thought that was actually going to be a big part of their game plan, was, you know, getting him the ball, whether it be, you know, just in the running game in general or just in space on screens or outlet passes, because once he gets the ball in his hands, that kid is good. And he makes a lot of people miss that you wouldn't think would miss tackles. And, you know, those yak yards make up a lot for him. But I think once the Panthers' defense started to clamp down on the run, I think it was maybe late in the first quarter, I think Carson Palmer started to sense that, and you know, that's when he actually started just taking shots down the field, and it was so unnecessary for him to be doing that.
Absolutely. Senior, what were your thoughts on the game? Anything you'd want to add?
Sure. I'll say for one thing, you know, it's something that happens a lot at playoff time, and when you evaluate teams, it may not be how good you played at certain points in the season. It's who's playing best at playoff time. And certainly Arizona, you want to say Palmer, but their whole team in general didn't come into the playoffs playing as well as they had been playing earlier in the season. Whereas Carolina, on the other hand, sailed into the playoffs. The thing that impressed me the most about the Carolina performance, the thing that really stuck out to me, was on the other side of the ball. And probably part of it was a contrast of after watching what happened to our Patriots. I was so impressed with the Carolina offensive line. I mean, Cam literally had all the time. And it was like there was literally no pass rush. He stood in there for some plays that took long to develop, 3-4 seconds to develop, still stepped right into the throw, and nobody even came within 2 yards of laying a glove on them. Their offensive line completely dominated. Now, I guess you could say some of that is part of this concept that when you game plan against a guy like Cam, you always hear that you're better off if you keep him in the pocket. He's more dangerous if he gets out of the pocket. But certainly your game plan can't be to give him that much time. I don't know if it's an indictment on the Arizona defense or just terrific play by the Carolina offensive line, but that's what I was most impressed with in the Carolina performance, was just how totally clean they kept Cam and how they do what they do. They're able to run the ball too. It was a really impressive performance. I mean, but also when you really thought about it after the game, you know, we were all trying to find reasons to say it was going to be a great game and pick Arizona. But all of those reasons we were finding, I think, were based on how Arizona played quite a bit earlier in the season, not how they were playing down the stretch. And let's face it, even in their playoff win the week before, which was very unimpressive. So, you know, the team that was playing the best won the game, but I was totally, awesomely impressed by their offensive line. What did you think of that offensive line's performance, Rob?
Well, watching them pretty much all season, their offensive line is built for punishment, to be honest with you. You know, their offense in general is not like the rest of the league's offenses. You know, mostly for the rest of the league, the offenses are wide open. For instance, you know, the Patriots, 4 and 5 wide, and it puts their offensive line in limbo. So if the offensive line is not getting the job done, you know, Brady's in trouble. Whereas the Carolina offensive line, they're not on their heels. They're actually going forward most of the time because the Carolina running game keeps their offense level. So their play action game works a lot. If you notice their offense, most of the time they only have two receivers on the field, two receivers, two tight ends, and a running back. And that's their base offense. And when you have an offense like that and you can still put a lot of points on the board, let you know your offensive line is actually doing a really good job and your scheme is really good because Cam is not the a weapon where, in general, quarterbacks are just the 11th guy, where you're basically playing 10 on 11. Now, Cam is the 11th guy, and he's a full part of their offense. So the defenses have to actually script their defenses to cover him up, you know, in the running game. You don't find too many offenses where the snap is going directly to the quarterback in the shotgun, and you have two running backs in the backfield, and they're lead blockers. So it's 11 on 11 at that time. You know what I mean? So their offensive line likes to go forward. They punish a lot of defenses. So that's a total contrast from what you see from the rest of the league. So their offensive line is actually really good. And it's the way they actually score a lot of points. They wear a lot of teams down with their running game. They can get away with not having outstanding receivers because they don't have to have them. Their offense, the way the offense is set up, it takes care of those guys because you won't see them being, you won't see a lot of defenses run a lot of man-to-man. You run a lot of man-to-man against Carolina. Cam, in a passing game, escapes. He's another weapon. You can't do that against them. So those guys, they work well, and their offense works well. Their offensive line is great.
The thing that really stands out to me is their ability to extend drives with how good they are in short yardage situations. But it's because of Cam, obviously. Right. You have that added dimension. But, I mean, you saw it in the Patriots game, which we'll talk about it in a second. The fourth down play, fourth and one, where, I mean, they brought Steven Jackson in, but the whole place knew that there's no way they were going to run the ball because they had no chance if they ran the ball. And so you're in a fourth and one situation, and the defense was playing pass. And like Carolina, they're, I mean, you have to get them into third and long because fourth and two or less. And I mean, you can't. No, nobody's unstoppable. But it's. I think it's the. They're the toughest by far, the toughest offense to stop in the league in those situations. And that's so big. It's so big.
You'll see a total 180 in this game. You won't see Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware just line up on the as defensive ends and just have their ears pinned back and just heading for a spot. You won't see that in this game. What you'll see is those guys actually temper their rush for the run. Because if they just, you know, go balls out and just head upfield, they're going to leave big holes in their defensive line. And that's just going to add to the Carolina running game. So you're going to see a whole total contrast in this game. Total 180 as far as their D-line and their pass rush goes.
Absolutely. And moving on to the other title game, it's a bit of a surprising result, a somber result for some of us here at the Sports Evolution. But the Broncos took out the Patriots 20-18. You know, I picked the Patriots to win the game, but as the game got closer, I started getting more and more nervous because nobody was giving the Broncos a chance, really. I mean, you would, you know, everything you read, everything pointed to a Pats victory. And the one thing about the Patriots in the Brady era is the way that you beat them, and the Giants did it, and we've seen other teams do it, is if you can put heat on Brady without blitzing, you can beat the Patriots, and you can turn a great offense into an average offense. And this was the Giants Super Bowls on steroids. I mean, Brady just took an absolute beating the whole game. And I was very, very impressed that he made it through the game with all the hits that he took. And that drive he engineered at the end, I mean, a lot of it was Gronkowski, of course, but it was a great drive at the end to make that game as exciting as it was. But at the end of the day, they don't do well when you put that pressure on them with your front four. Thoughts, guys? Either one of you.
Go ahead, Rob.
That's just the way it goes with the Patriots. Again, total 180 from what you see from Carolina. You know the Patriots are going to be in four wide or five wide. You know that they're going to be throwing the ball down the field. First down, second down, third down, fourth down, whatever it is. So when defensive lines can actually just pin their ears back and get a rush, you know, then no concerns with the running game from the Patriots at all. So you got four guys looking to meet up at a spot and try to get back to Brady as fast as they can. And when you have guys like Vaughn and DeMarcus and their interior rush that they were getting, as you said, you know, that's the format to beating the Patriots. And when you can actually have seven guys in coverage against them, you can take away the quick passes. And that's another way. If you can take away everything that's quick for Brady, you make him hold the ball. You started seeing as the game goes on, once he started getting hit, he started seeing ghosts. You know, he started looking to get rid of the ball before the rush was actually even there. So he had a big play that he should have made, one to Gronk, where Gronk was crossing the field, and he was anticipating getting hit. And I'm pretty sure you guys remember this play. He was anticipating getting hit. He started pump faking and pump faking and pump faking, and then when he finally threw the ball, he threw the ball across the field way out of Gronk's reach, where if he would have just held the ball, he could have hit Gronk on the crossing route. That would probably been a huge play because Gronk was wide open, nobody there. That would probably would have changed the game around. But, you know, as we saw as the game was going on, and he kept getting hit and he kept getting hit, he was just looking to get rid of the ball.
Yeah, you can't blame him for seeing ghosts. I mean, he took a vicious beating. I think the other thing they did with their game plan, Rob, which was really, really good by Wade Phillips, was they say that in the locker room after the game, Julian and Danny Amendola were almost as bruised up as Brady. They were playing them very physical at the line of scrimmage in that first 5 yards when you can hit them, which took away those quick passes, which is what the Pats did with, especially with Edelman, to kind of cover up their issues with their offensive line. And by doing that, this team with the great pass rushes that they have, especially those two outside guys, and the kid Wolf coming up the middle is really good. They just totally exposed the biggest weakness that the Patriots have. The offensive line is just a huge weakness.
The one thing that actually surprised me during the entire season was that so many other teams didn't actually do that. Pretty much everyone knows, you know, the Patriots will get Edelman and Amendola and Gronk in trip sets, and they'll use those guys in crossing routes. A lot of teams were just letting them run free, so, you know, Brady could hit those quick routes. He could hit those guys on the crosses if he needed to hold the ball. He can wait for those guys to actually get across the field. Broncos didn't do that, as you said. They were lighting those guys up right there within those 5 yards, and when they saw the crossing routes coming, they hit them. So that's the biggest way to actually take care of all of that. You force Brady to hold the ball, and then let's pass rush take care of the rest. And that was a game plan that I saw quite a few teams try to use. I saw the Jets try to use it. It worked for a while. And that's like the blueprint to get it done. And the Broncos actually worked it out, and they pretty much worked it to perfection for the most part. You know, that last drive that Brady had was a typical Brady drive, especially those fourth down plays. Fourth down, 47-yard play to Gronk. And then the fourth down touchdown. It's pretty amazing stuff. And I think he was just looking at Gronk the whole way. I think when those plays were called,
great plays by Gronk,
you know what,
both of them too.
Yeah. I think he just said, you know what, big fellow, you make a play. And that's how it went.
And so on the Broncos took a little bit of a page out of the Belichick playbook for what he used to do to Peyton Manning when Peyton was obviously on the Colts. And I remember one particular playoffs where the Colts had you know, I think they put up over 40 points 2 weeks in a row. And then they play the Pats and scored 17 or something like that. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But it's the same design. Just beat them up, beat them up, beat them up. They don't like getting hit kind of deal. And they worked it to perfection. I mean, the Seahawks did it in the Super Bowl last year. And Brady got started a little earlier in that game. And the Seahawks kind of tailed off. But these Broncos, they brought it for the full 48. And there's no... You know, they won the game more than the Patriots lost the game, I think. I mean, I thought it was an incredible performance by their defense. Looking at the other side of the ball, so when you look at the four units, and we could move this into the Super Bowl. When you look at the four units in the Super Bowl, there's one unit that kind of stands out as not as up to par as the other three, and that's the Broncos' offense. And the Patriots have a good defense, not a great defense, a good defense. And for the most part, Manning started out hot. But after the first few drives, it was pretty much the same Broncos offense you've seen all season, which is not particularly explosive. And, you know, they kind of got the running game going, but... And it's just that it's very tough for me to look at the Super Bowl and not say that the Broncos offense versus the Panthers defense is what costs the Broncos the game. I just have trouble seeing them doing more than what they did against New England. What do you think there, Rob?
I think you're pretty much right. The Gary Kubiak offense is
one of those offenses that tries to slow the game down. He wants to get the running game going, and I just don't think that's going to happen at all in this game. So I really think if the Broncos are going to have a chance to win this game, it's going to be on Peyton Manning's shoulders, wholeheartedly. And that's the scary part for the Broncos right there. I think everyone knows, you know, Peyton is not Peyton of old. He's going to struggle if he has to throw the ball 40 times in this game. That's just for me, and I think everybody else pretty much feels the same way.
What do you think, Senior?
Yeah, if they force him to throw, I can see some turnovers happening. I mean, this is what Carolina thrives on, number one. I mean, they led the league in turnovers, led the league in turnover differential. The guys like Josh Norman in the secondary, with the way Manning, especially if Manning throws the ball even downfield a bit, he just doesn't have the arm strength anymore, and it takes a while for the ball to get there. And I can see them making some plays on him. I think Denver's only chance is to get their running game going, which isn't a great running game. It's very mediocre. I guess their only chance to win the game is really totally on the back of their defense. Their defense will have to hit another grand slam like they did against the Patriots. And I don't see them completely shutting down this Carolina offense. It's, as Rob pointed out, it's very much a style difference where the two great outside rushers aren't going to be as big of a factor in this game. So, yeah, it's hard to find a way to say that Denver's going to win this game. But, you know, we were all saying that last week too, but... It just really is. I find it really hard to picture the Broncos winning this game. As nice as it would be to see Peyton Manning leave with a championship, no doubt. You know, in my lifetime, he's one of the best players I ever saw play football for his whole career. And it would be kind of neat to see him ride off into the sunset like John Elway did. But I really don't see how it can happen. I don't see how he can put many points up at all. And the turnovers. Somehow they have to stay away from turnovers, and that's going to be difficult if he's throwing the ball.
Yeah, so especially the way Carolina's been playing, and we'll get into later. There are paths to a Denver victory. You know, it's the spread's not 14 points, even though in a lot of ways it feels like it should be. But the way Carolina's been playing has to really, really scare Denver, because they've been jumping out early, big early. Right, and I mean they've been doing that. It's not a 1 week thing. It's but every week, even against the Giants. And if Denver gets down 14-0 or something in the first quarter, you have to almost say the game's over. because they don't have the kind of offense that can engineer a comeback like Russell Wilson did, or even the Cardinals made it a little bit interesting. And the Cardinals have a high-powered offense. But if they're down big like that, I think Denver's done. So their first order of business is to avoid the quick strike early. They can't let them get off to the hot start that they've been getting off to. Do you agree with that, Rob?
Oh, they definitely can't let the Panthers get off to a hot start. They're I think Kubiak, what he's going to try and do is just rely on the defense to keep the game close. And that's one of the things that I think he was doing against the Patriots. I think the way the game is going against the Patriots, the Broncos probably could have scored 30 points easy. But Kubiak was calling a game where he was keeping the Patriots actually in the game by the way he was actually calling the game. So when you don't have a running game, but your first two plays of a drive are two runs, and you basically get 3 yards, you're relying on Peyton to pick up a first down for you on third and long. And the way, you know, he's been playing, that just hasn't been happening. And then you're just calling a game, working on field position and hoping that your defense can actually create something, create a quick strike for the offense, create a turnover where you're already in the red zone or you're already in the scoring zone. So, you know, I think that's just the type of game that he was calling. And I think that's probably what he's going to try and do in this game, to keep the game close, keep Cam and the Panthers off the field. But, you know, if I seriously think if he tries to do it in this game, it's going to be a long day for him.
And, I mean, it's really crazy because they played that Patriots game like it was the same kind of game plan that, like, the Ray Lewis, the first Super Bowl, the Ray Lewis Ravens with Dilfer at quarterback, which was, we just want to eat up a little bit of clock. I don't, especially at the end. I mean, the last, how many would the Patriots have? 4 drives in the last 7 minutes? And, you know, we just want to eat up as much clock as we can and not turn it over and just let the defense do its thing. And it's crazy that's the strategy with a Peyton Manning-led offense.
They had the ball 3 times in the last 3 minutes. So, you know, that's just the type of game that he was calling. You knew, even when they didn't make the 2 fourth downs, they were going to get the ball back again. I mean, you just knew it. So, even when Belichick decided not to kick a field goal and decided to go for it on the first 4th down, you're like, okay, they're going to get the ball back anyway. They're going to have another chance to score. And that's just the way it was going. You could just tell the way it was, the way Kubiak was calling the game. He's been doing that, which probably has been frustrating the hell out of Peyton, but, you know, and he's just been relying on the defense to make plays and keep them in the game.
Yep. And so the path to a Panthers victory, I think, is pretty much follow the blueprint, ride the wave. If you jump out on this team early, they don't have the firepower to come back. I mean, they just don't, right? Path to a Broncos victory, you keep it close, right? You keep it reasonably close. And the one thing, I think this Carolina team's an all-timer. I think we're going to look back on this season and say that we criminally underrated them, that they may be one of the top five or six teams that we've seen in the last 30, 35 years. I mean, they are loaded. And what Cam's done this year is amazing. And I know you talked about it before, but I mean, you can't underscore how weak that receiving core is. I mean, they don't have, other than Olsen, the guys in that receiving core are at best, a decent number three receiver, right? And now picture them with Benjamin. I mean, they'll have Benjamin back next year, who's a, you know, maybe he's not a legit one, but he's close. And I can't give Cam Newton enough credit. I mean, he's been far and away the best quarterback in the NFL this year, clearly the MVP. And I really like how his attitude. I like, you know, you don't want me to dance, then stop me. You know, he doesn't, you know, he's just a joy to watch. I love watching him.
I'm actually glad that he hasn't changed his style of play ever. You know, he was the same way in college, the same way he first came into the NFL. He hasn't changed his style of play. So, you know, a lot of people act like this is new, and it's not. You know, he's been doing this ever since, you know, he's in Florida. So, The one thing I said early in the season about the Panthers was that it sounds weird, but the best thing to happen to them was Kelvin Benjamin getting hurt. Because if you saw the way they played last year with Benjamin as a rookie, all of the passes either went to him or Olsen. What Cam has had to do this year is he's had to spread the ball around to everybody. So it's made him better. You know, when you have a Kelvin Benjamin, the type of receiver that he is, where especially if you get in the red zone, all you have to do is just throw the ball up. He's that type of gifted receiver where he's going up to get the ball. He's pretty much going to, you know, out-athletic everybody for the ball in the red zone, as well as in the middle of the field. You throw the ball up in the middle of the field, he's got it. He's a big target. So when he got hurt, Cam actually had to utilize Philly Brown, Cotrie Moore, Ted Ginn being that big play guy, even though, you know, Ginn is going to have those drops, but Cam sees him running open, he's still going to throw him the ball. He just has that confidence in him that he's going to make a play eventually. And it has forced Cam to go through his progressions as the game goes along and as plays are called. And he just utilizes everybody now. And that has made him a much better player.
So senior, taking the other side of the coin, how can the Broncos win this game?
I really don't know. I really don't see that. I really don't see how they can. I really don't.
I have an answer, but
yeah, you know, I mean, their defense would have to be dominant. You know, they would have to just completely shut them down, and go down in history as one of the great defenses, and you'll ever see if they do this. You know. If they pull this off and win this game like 17-14 or something with an unbelievable defensive performance, that's about the only way I could see them winning. I just don't see them how they're going to score a lot of points. And their defense, as good as they are, they play very solid defense. They don't turn the ball over much, not at all. If you look, they're one of the worst teams as far as gaining turnovers. They just play good solid defense. So I don't see their defense like scoring for them. They have to do what they do and stop them. So I guess, you know, the first thing you got to do against Carolina, you know, we're talking Cam, and that's absolutely true. He's unbelievable. But they base a lot of their success off that running game. They get that running game going, and then Cam is devastating in play action, and they've gotten Stewart going pretty consistently this year. So I guess that's Denver's first. That's always where it has to start, right? You have to stop the run, and
that's why
somehow I hope you come up with some kind of an incredible performance and maybe come up with a big play on offense here and there, you know.
That's why I think their defense is going to be they're going to look to stop the run first. They're not going to be a full-out rush, you know, let me go get a sack defense in this game. One thing I think may happen, especially in those the formations where Carolina comes out and they just have two receivers and two tight ends and one running back, or there's basically just two receivers on the field most of the time. I think the Broncos may rely on their two excellent corners to just lock up those two guys man to man and put some heat on Cam. That way, that will free up the safeties in the box. They can load the box up, stop the run, and it's if anything will happen, and they're just going to take their chances on the fact that their two corners can keep the Panthers' two receivers in those type of sets, you know, at bay, keep them from getting a big play. That'll be one way you see Broncos try to slow down the Panthers' offense.
The complete.
That's just a guess of mine. I think that may happen. I've seen it go on with defenses who have, you know, stellar corners like that. So I think that may be something that that Wade Phillips does.
Yeah, completely agree, Rob. So that was going to be my take on how the Broncos can win. You have to make Carolina go on long drives, right? No big plays, right? Make them, and they can do it, but make them go on long drives. Cam is as great as he is. It's still he's capable of throwing interceptions. You know, he's not. He does throw picks, So you need to get a couple of turnovers, and you have to. The way you make them go on those long drives, those corners have to be able to, in theory, those corners should be able to lock up those receivers, right? It's probably, you know, if they're not the best defensive backfield in the league, they're probably second best, right? And, you know, it's the, again, in theory, the worst receiving core in the NFL. I think Olsen, I think they're going to treat Olsen a lot like they treated Gronkowski, which is, we'll do what we can, but I think Olsen has a big game here. Even in a Denver win, I think Olsen has a big game here. I don't think they can stop him. But you take away the big play.
I do think they treat Olsen like they did treat Gronk.
There's going to be, I think, two or three plays Carolina will have a chance to capitalize on as far as big plays go over the top with Ted Ginn, especially if the Broncos end up playing the type of defense that I think they will play when they're in two receiver sets where they just lock those two guys up. If Ted Ginn gets loose, I'm sure Cam's going to take a shot or two or three down the field. And there's another guy to actually look out for is Ed Dixon, the second tight end. You know, with the Broncos defense, I think they're going to try and slow down Greg Olsen, but Ed Dixon could probably play a big part in this game. He's a viable tight end. Not saying that he's a big play guy, but he's somebody that definitely can work the middle of the field. And I think Cam actually might utilize him in this game.
You know, last year it was Vereen, Rob. You hit that one on the head. This year, Tricky Dixon.
Yeah.
Was deep. That's I haven't heard that call too much. So that's
he hasn't been used a whole lot, but actually watched the game last week. He actually made a big play in that game where Cam hit him, I believe it was like 3rd and 12 or something like that, and Cam hit him short. And he actually he got first down in the red zone. And that was with the Cardinals actually taking away Greg Olsen running a little drag route into the end zone, or post route to the end zone. And Dixon was wide open. They left him alone. I kind of think the Broncos may end up doing the same thing where they just, I'm not going to say totally ignore him, but the focus is going to be on Olsen.
Yeah. And so for the Broncos, the one thing you can say about Carolina is that they've, and it's been more than one game where they've faded late. So for the Broncos to win, they keep it close and hope Carolina fades a little late and win at the end.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. It's that's the path to victory, and it's tough to see because I think that is, especially on the big stage, Cam, like, it really feels to me like Cam's moment, and I feel like with Manning retiring, and I mean, I'm not big into narratives, but you can kind of feel that passing of the torch. And I don't think the moment's too big for Cam, and I see them. I think there's a real strong possibility they come out like a house of fire and that this Super Bowl ends out being similar to the Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl where it's a 20-point game before you blink and the second half's a big celebration, basically. But if they can keep it close, they do have a chance late. You agree, Senior?
Yeah, that's the big if they can keep it close. And the other thing is part of it where we're saying Carolina fade late. I mean, some of it's been games that they've had big leads and, you know, maybe lost interest a little bit, like the Seahawks game, you know. So, I don't know. I don't know if they fade late in a closer game. You know, that's the other side of that.
I think they learned the lesson in two games this year. The Giants game, they saw what could happen if they actually take their foot off the gas pedal, which they did. And then definitely in that Seahawks game where they definitely took their foot off the pedal, even though at halftime, coaches said we're not going to change anything as far as the play calling goes. They fully admitted that they took their foot off the gas pedal. And even Cam said it. And you saw the whole change the following week against the Cardinals, where they did not take their foot off the gas pedal. They were going to play the full 60 minutes, even though they had a big lead. Excuse me. So, in the Super Bowl,
if they jump out to a big lead, I don't think it's going to change. If they jump out to a big lead, I think they're still going to be taking shots down the field. I think they're still going to the defense is still going to be putting crazy pressure on Peyton, forcing him to throw the ball. And, you know, I don't think you're going to see any conservative play calling from the Panthers if they actually jump out to a big lead.
And if I'm Denver, I go completely against what they did against the Patriots. I think you kind of said this too, Rob. If they try to just grind it out with Carolina, it's just not going to work. That's what Carolina is going to be prepared for. And the one thing Denver does have on offense, and you haven't seen it that much this year because of Manning's lack of arm strength, is those two outside receivers are both capable of 80-yard touchdowns every time they touch the ball.
Absolutely.
And if I'm Denver, I come out and I take shots early. See who Norman's not covering, and go, you can't cover both of them, and go the other way.
That's pretty much what Denver should do. I thought that's what the Cardinals were going to do. The Seahawks did that in the second half. They were taking shots at whoever was actually out there who Norman wasn't covering. And it worked. I believe it was Courtland Finnegan who's actually the one who's out there playing the other corner and against the Seahawks. And he was just getting chewed alive. I believe against the Cardinals, they put him in his slot as a nickelback, took him off the corner, which made a big difference. He has helped him. But for the most part, I think what the Broncos should do, they should just let Peyton be Peyton. If you know, you're trying to win this game and want to go out on a winning note, just let the guy go out and play. It's going to be the only shot. You know, they try to keep this game close and just try to, like I said, try to grind it out. But that's probably the worst thing to try to do against the Panthers, because that's the type of team they have. They have a grinded-out team, and they'll just grind you out.
So, you hate to even say this, but if things happen the way that we think they may happen, Carolina jumps out to 17-0 in the first quarter. Does Kubiak, do you think there's any chance that Kubiak pulls him?
No. I don't think he's going to pull him at all, but what I think will happen is if Peyton is not, even if Carolina jumps out fast and Peyton's not actually turning the ball over, what I think you may see is actually even Peyton might just say, listen, man, just let me go out, get in the shotgun, and do what I can do. And, you know, do what I've been doing for all these years. And you know, let's just see what happens. And I think that's probably what may happen in this game. You know, Peyton just get back to doing what he's been doing, you know, for all these years. Get in a shotgun, let him scope out the defense, get the team in the correct plays, and, you know, go from there. The one thing that will definitely have to happen for the Broncos is their receivers are going to have to make some plays. You know, they've been dropping a lot of passes over the last month or so. And if they continue that in this game, the narrative will go just like we've been saying. The Panthers might end up blowing this game away.
Especially Demaryius. Demaryius' hands. I don't know what's wrong with him.
It's weird that he's actually had almost 100 catches and has had a 1,000-yard season. But, you know, the way he's been playing, you wouldn't think that at all. You know, the drops that he had, it just seems like he's in a little funk. And once it becomes mental, you know, you start pressing in games. And you can see he's been pressing a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's really the guy. Because he's capable of going out there and putting up 200 yards on anybody. I mean, yeah. He's that good. And it could happen. It could happen. I think it's really important that they come out and let Peyton be Peyton before they're behind. come out and do that right from the beginning.
Right.
And, you know, even if you do it on the first, because you might get, if you're the Broncos, you get the ball first. If you come out with a shotgun and just have him slinging around, they're not really going to, I mean, that's not what they're going to be expecting. You might get a cheap touchdown out of it, right? Even if you end out going to the running game later. If they come out and try to go mano a mano against that defense, it's just not going to work.
I think that's what happened last week when they shot the Patriots on the first drive. They were right down the field. And a lot of that was on Peyton's arm. And then Kubiak went back to his old ways and started trying to run the ball. But even then, you can see there was, when Peyton's not in a groove,
You know, he was a little off. He missed a few passes. I believe one of them was to Sanders. I forget who the other one was to in the end zone, where guys were wide open in the end zone. He just missed. So, you know, when he's not in the groove like that, you know, you just got to have to, the Broncos fans just got to hold their breath and hope he can connect on those plays when they're there.
All right, guys. So I think that's a good analysis. Now it's time for to go on the record. Senior, give me a score and give me your MVP.
Okay, I'm going to say 31-14, Carolina, and the MVP is pretty obvious. Cam Newton. We're all trying to figure out ways that Denver can win, and it all sounds nice, but in reality, when you really think about the game, I don't see it happening. I see this as much more likely scenario that Carolina just runs away from them.
That is the kiss of death right there, Rob, if you didn't listen to our pre-Patriots Broncos game show. You got the exact same analysis. All right, Rob, score and MVP.
I've got pretty much been saying 34-20 Panthers, and Cam definitely will be the MVP.
All right. I'm going to say it's closer. I'm going to say 27-24 Panthers. Late drive to win it goes against everything we just said. I think Peyton's, you know, I feel like if he's going to show up this year, this is going to be the game, right? Where if he's going to turn back the clock, this is going to be the game, and I think he's going to make it interesting. But I just think the Panthers team is just too much. I think they're too good. And Cam engineers a late game drive touchdown Mike Tolbert in the last 2 minutes that went to win it. But Cam's your MVP.
Hopefully it's actually just a really good game.
I know. It's sad because I think the Patriots, this isn't me talking as a Patriots fan, but I think on paper the Patriots-Panthers game would have been a bit more interesting because of the Patriots offense.
For sure. And definitely have been thinking about a score along the lines of like 42-38 if the Patriots actually planned. That would have just been me, even though I know both defenses probably would have showed up and played very well if the Panthers actually ended up playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But, you know, just for this game, I just think the Panthers actually – If nothing goes, you know, haywire for them leading up to this game, I just think they've been playing way too well.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, can't wait for the game. You can catch all of us on Twitter. We'll be tweeting during the game. Senior and Rob tweet a bit more than I do. great, both of them great feeds to follow. Rob, if you are, I know Senior told you about Chris Dunn last year. Caught any Providence games?
Yep. I've actually been watching. Been paying attention.
Kid's a stud.
He is.
And you know, Rob, I remember talking to you about Chris, and you told me I'm going to keep my eye on him. Even me, the most optimistic of PC fans, could have never told you how much better Ben Bentel was going to be this year than he was last year. Now they have two studs, and they're really making some noise.
They are.
And real quick, Rob, just in case we don't have you on again before the end of the season, are the Warriors going to break the Bulls on a record?
I don't think so, but I do think they're going to win a championship. I don't think anything crazy is going to happen. I just think by the time the end of the season comes around, I'm just going to feel like, you know what? Little guys getting a little nick here, a little nick there, just rest guys and get ready for the playoffs. Keep the momentum going, but they'll probably end up winning 70 games. I don't think they're going to break the record.
Right, yeah, and they've already started doing that. They rest Draymond here and there.
Right.
Curry is, you remember when he was injury prone?
I was just talking about that a couple weeks ago. You know, everyone was saying he had the worst ankles on the earth, and he'll never be able to fulfill his potential. Well, times have changed.
He went to the Frank Gore school of just get hurt early in your career, and then you're fine. All right, guys, great stuff. Rob, thanks so much for being on. We will definitely have you back. Everybody enjoy the game. For Senior, for Mr. Rob Carpenter, I'm the Cowboy, and I'm out.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Rob.